It's really nice to be diving into this with you guys tonight. It's really nice to be back as well. This is my first time back in about maybe just under a year. This has been a massive part of my life for many years. So great to be in this space again. So tonight is the last. It's the fourth week of our Breathe series, and I thought it would be good to run through a quick recap, either as a refresher for those of us who've been around for the last few weeks, or as an overview for those who haven't heard the last few weeks. So over this month, we've been taking a deeper dive into prayer, and we've been using this breathe concept. So as Sam touched on before, in the first week, we had Bishop Richard Conde come and talk about how we listen to God, how we breathe in, and that one way we do that is reading His Word, and God speaks to us through Scripture. In the second week, Rob spoke about another way that we hear or breathe in God, and that is listening to His Bible-compatible voice in other ways. And then last week, Rob shifted gears, and he got people listening with bated breath, quite literally holding our breath for thankfully a protected amount of time, but reminding us that breathing out or speaking to God is an essential part of prayer as well. And the focus last week was on praise. So tonight, with the last of our Breathe series, I want us to consider another way that we breathe out or that we talk to God, and that is this idea of petition or asking God for things. And think of no better way to start this by doing that exact thing. So just join me as I pray and we'll kick off. Loving Father, we thank you that you want to be in relationship with us, that you call us our children, and that you desire to do intimate day-to-day life with us, Lord. We thank you so much that you speak and that you love to listen and you love to hear us speak as well. And just pray that tonight you would help us to distill ourselves, to have open hearts and minds, and just to listen to whatever your spirit might be prompting in us. Please do be speaking through myself and through your word. I pray that, this time tonight would be just one more moment of being transformed progressively into your likeness. Amen. So as we kick off, I want to just unpack this word petition, because it is more than just asking for something. I don't know if you feel this, but when we say the word petition, it has this feeling of something important. It's often used to describe when someone is petitioning for something. They might be appealing for something that's really significant to them, or petitioning for an area that they really want to see change come about in. So in our context, it's us bringing those things to God and asking Him for things. On that note, have you ever noticed that we often use the word praying interchangeably with asking God for things? For example, might say, I've been praying for good weather, or I prayed for a good result on my exam, meaning that we asked for something. Just want to say that I do think that that can be dangerously reductive, because we don't want to treat this entire conversation, which is what prayer encapsulates, as just us asking God for things. However, it's actually one of the reasons I'm glad that this is the last of the Breathe series, that in the first couple of weeks we focused on listening to God and praising Him. But asking God for things is still an exceptionally important part of our relationship with Him. And it's actually what Jesus tells us to do. When He's teaching us how to pray, He's asking God for things. So tonight, as we look at why petition or asking God for things is so important, I want us to focus on one particular aspect of that. That is persistency. Why it's not only important that we ask God for things, but that we keep asking and we persist in what we pray for. As we launch off, I just want to I guess, clarify things around prayer and in part petition, and what prayer sort of achieves, what some of the big fruit of prayer would be. And these first two, I think we're quite familiar with and we've probably reflected on over the years, but I think it's really good to come back to anyway. So some of the fruit of prayer, one thing is that it builds relationship. Prayer, in the same way that regular conversation and communication between people, this breathing in, this listening, and this breathing out, this speaking, the same way that that nurtures and builds relationships, so does regular prayer. And notice from the outset that Jesus is teaching a daily rhythm. Notice he doesn't say, give us this month our monthly bread, and then next month goes on and prays for the same thing. He says, give us today our daily bread. And if Jesus, who is as close to the Father as humanly possible, is setting that kind of rhythm, then I think we need to take notice of that. And he withdrew constantly to pray. I think Martin Luther puts it so well. He says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. So prayer builds our relationship with God. It also harmonizes our hearts and priorities with God. So when we're in relationship with someone and we're conversing and we're spending time together, that can only bring about more influence on the other. So the more we pray, the more time we spend with God, therefore the more we become shaped in his likeness. And especially over the last few weeks, as we've really been focusing on listening to God, the more we listen, the more we're influenced by him, the more we start praying in line with his heart and with his desires and his purposes. So in persistent prayer, our own desires and plans just gradually harmonize more and more with God's. But the final thing I'm really keen for us to focus on tonight, and I think it's so important because it helps us to consider, why do we pray? Why do we ask God for things, and why do we continue to do that? And that's because prayer brings about change. So I just want to ask the question, what do we believe about prayer and our requests? Is the only purpose of prayer to elicit a change in us? Or when we ask God for things, does he actually answer in response? To boil it down in simple terms, we might ask, is God unchanging, or is he influenced by our prayers? Could we consider that both are true? So it's one thing to say that God's nature is unchanging, which is absolutely true. It says in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. And in Hebrews 13, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But to say that his actions and his answers are fixed or never influenced by us doesn't fit with what we see in Scripture. In fact, I would disagree with what a theologian, philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard says. He puts it as, prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. I don't believe that that is what we see in Scripture, because while it's certainly true that we are transformed progressively through prayer, the Bible teaches about the impact of our prayer on God. So I want to use an example from the Scriptures. This is the story of Hezekiah. So Hezekiah was a king of Judah. He had a close relationship with God, and he becomes ill. He's on his deathbed. I'm going to read from 2 Kings. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die, you will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And then Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you'll go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. So here we have a clear example of God's heart being moved and actions being changed because of the prayer of one of his disciples. And it's not the only example in Scripture. We see that Moses, he pleads on behalf of the people when they sinfully turn to idol worship, and the Lord is then stirred to blot out their names or to refrain from punishment in response to Moses' prayer. We see in Hosea 11, it tells us of God's impacted heart. He says, "How can I give up on you, Ephraim?" This is God. "My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger." So it becomes clear that prayer doesn't just change our hearts, but it also impacts God. And it can lead to something happening that would not have otherwise happened. Jesus teaches us here in Luke 11, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So God responds to our prayer. Simply put, the less we ask, the less we get. And therefore the converse is also true. The more we ask of God, the more we can receive, even if that's simply a greater outpouring of his Spirit. And we see this reinforced in so many other passages in Scripture. Matthew 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you." James says, "The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well," or, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Again in James 4, "You do not have because you do not ask God." So God responds to our prayer. And yet, he remains wonderfully and utterly unchanging in his sovereignty, in his goodness, in his ultimate purposes, and in his unfailing love. Just as a loving parent considers the requests of their child, what is unchanging is the love, the nature, the character of the parent. But God, as our Father, still desires that his children ask things of him, and then who always respond in line with his character and with his purposes. I think it's such a beautiful gift that God wants us to partner with him to bring about change in this world. And he wants us to care, that he wants us to pursue, that he wants us to ask. Consider the Lord's Prayer. Jesus doesn't say, "Lord, help me to desire to see more of your kingdom in the world," or "help us to appreciate what you've already provided," as a prayer that only changes us. He says, "Your kingdom come, give us today our daily bread." He's making explicit requests of God, fully acknowledging that God knows exactly what we need. And if Jesus is always genuine, then his requests through prayer must be genuine petitions to God, asking for these things to come about. So we've seen here that prayer is powerful to bring about change, that God responds and acts at times because of our prayer. I just want to pause for a moment and highlight what this doesn't mean, because what we can sometimes do is take a truth and take it too far or distort it, essentially. And so I hope I'm stating the obvious here, but what doesn't this mean? Well, it doesn't mean that God is dependent on us to bring about his good purposes. So our participation through prayer, that's part of his kindness to include us. He wants to co-labor with us. But we can and ultimately trust in his sovereignty. He's ultimately going to work all things for good. It also means that as we trust God to be at work, that doesn't mean that we're inactive or that we're absolved of our responsibility. I think Philip Yancey puts it really well. He says, "Sometimes, like the boy who asks his parents to solve his math problems while he goes off and plays video games, we ask God to be doing things that we should be doing ourselves." Think about it like this. If you're going for a walk past some water and you looked out and you saw someone in the water struggling or drowning, would our response be just to stop, bow our head, pray, say, God, please save that person, and then just keep walking on, even if all the while we're holding a rope that we could throw out to rescue them? So sometimes we can actually be the answers to our own prayers or the answers to someone else's prayer. So we are not inactive. And it doesn't mean, and this is obvious, I'm sure, as well, but it's worth reiterating that prayer is always answered with a yes, or as we expect it to look. Jesus himself asked to be spared from torture and death. And yet God knew the path that needed to happen. So this isn't a magic formula or a guarantee, but prayer is still powerful and effective, and it can bring about tangible change. So given this, what do we do with this wonderful reality that prayer actually makes a difference and brings about change, whether that's internally or in tangible, real, external ways? So I want us to spend the rest of our time just focusing on one key aspect of petition or asking God for things. I want us to consider persistent prayer. Persistence usually means they are serious about something. This analogy is by no means perfect, but consider if your child or if a niece or nephew asks you for a new phone just one day, and they never mention it again. Would we consider that that had much meaning or importance to them? Probably not. In contrast, what about someone who asks again and again and again and again, and they just keep asking every day without fail, not ceasing to keep appealing for this thing? Even if it could be seen as irritating or intense, it could not be viewed as impartial or apathetic. And you know, Jesus doesn't just say that God tolerates repeated prayer, but that he desires it. In Luke 18, we read that Jesus told his disciples to always pray and to not give up. And then he goes on to tell this story about a widow who is seeking justice, and she relentlessly asks this indifferent judge for this justice. And he eventually reluctantly agrees, simply because of her persistence. And Jesus highlights, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see they get justice." So God doesn't see it as irritating. In fact, his heart aches for us to care more, not less. We're told in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. In fact, after teaching the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes on to tell us to be praying boldly, and he uses the story that we heard tonight. And I just want you to picture it. It's middle of the night, you're fast asleep, you hear a knock at your door, you sort of stumble out of bed, and it's your neighbor, and they want 3 loaves of bread. Even if you're dog tired and your kids are asleep and you just cannot be bothered, you're still going to get the bread, even if just for the sheer audacity of them asking. And then Jesus says, as we've heard, ask and it should be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So we're urged here to pray boldly and relentlessly. It's so clear that God wants his children to be involved, to be passionate, to be moved, to be hungry in prayer. And again, God doesn't just tolerate persistent, incessant prayer. He desires it. And again, of course, it's not a guaranteed recipe for a yes answer from God. Hezekiah prayed once for healing and it happened. Jesus prayed 3 times for the removal of his suffering, and yet he still suffered and died as he did. But we've seen examples from scripture today where prayer has brought about big change, and hopefully we've seen it in our own lives or the lives of people around us. And I think this call for persistent prayer is so important to talk about today, because it has a risk of being Knowledge without practice, or theory without action. And look, I confess, I've lived most of my 33 years asking things of really great worth and value only to occasionally. You know, I'll pray one day and then I'll just forget the next. Honestly, I shudder to think about the amount of times I've prayed for something and God may have even answered that prayer, but I haven't even acknowledged or thought about it again, and I haven't even praised him for the outcome of that. So look, if you glazed over at all in this point, I would love you to hear this. I really hope I've shown tonight that petition or asking God for things can and does make a difference. And that we might see more changes, more restoration and breakthrough the more we embrace this approach to prayer. To pray incessantly, to pray for specific people and situations with increasing passion and fervor, but to persist. And I'd love to share what it looks like in my life, because I was recently prompted to pray boldly and persistently. And I was reminded by a close friend a couple of months ago that God actually responds to our prayers. So I started to think, what do I desperately want to see happen or change? Look, practically, I'm not going to pray for everything that's important because I won't have enough time left over my day for other things. So my personal approach to this has been to commit to praying for a few situations, and I just pray for them every day. Sometimes it's just for a shorter season, as in for a few weeks. There's a couple of things that I pray for every day, and my plan is to do that until I see them resolved. That might be the rest of my life. I hope not, but it might be. That works for me, as in to pray every day, because it means I actually do it. And I'd love to share what those things are as well. So there's two things that I pray for daily. One is for the healing of a friend who's been suffering through a chronic injury and has been in a lot of pain for a long time. And the other thing I pray for every day is that I have a small group of really close friends who don't know God, and I just pray that they will know God. I don't want this to be a recipe or a formula. I don't want this to be a shift towards legalism, like it has to look this way. However, I want us all to consider, what does it look like to pray as we're taught to, with persistence and with passion? Otherwise, I think it stays in that all too big category, at least in my life, of good intentions and knowledge that doesn't actually get acted on. I also want to pause here and acknowledge one really big thing, and that is it can be unfathomably difficult or dispiriting or heartbreaking when you pray for a situation or a person for a long time and you don't see change in that. That may be the case for some of us here. I definitely know it's been the case for me and others I've spoken to. And I just want to acknowledge the hardship in that, and that it can be fatiguing. I just have to trust that God is listening and that he is responding in his wisdom. I also think that's one of the reasons it's really essential and encouraging for us as a church to share stories of answered prayer regularly. I think that does such a powerful thing in reminding us of God at work. And I think those extrinsic stories can build us up, but also our intrinsic experience of reflecting and celebrating on when God has answered prayer. And so to that end, I know of friends who do prayer journals so that they can look back in weeks or months or years to come and be reminded of where God's been at work. You know, it's funny, I spoke this morning at the 8 a.m. service. I shared the same message. And after the service, I was chatting with some of the people, and I heard so many stories of God at work, just because it naturally, I think, drew up the conversation. I thought, let's start now. I will share one that I heard only this morning as an encouragement. A lady Shared with me that she'd been praying for a family member for 60 years, and that family member only recently came to Christ, I think several weeks before she passed, as in before the lady who came to Christ passed. 60 years makes me wonder, you know, did she get to 1 year in, 5 years in, 10 years in, and go, gosh, it's not happening, I'll move on. She persisted. And look, she said she didn't pray every day. And again, it's not a recipe or a formula, but she just prayed over that time. And in my circumstance, the friends that I've been praying for, only just this last week, one of them messaged me and said, Jesse, I think I've had an encounter with God. I'm not sure, but something's happened and I'd love to talk to you about it. And we'll catch up later this week. So I just want those to be little encouragements. And I'd love for us to do that regularly in just how we do life together. So I just want to finish up our time here just by summarizing what we've looked at tonight. And then I'm just going to give us a few minutes just to reflect on what we've spoken about. And there might be a certain situation that you do want to bring towards God, or it might be that you want to consider what this approach to prayer does look like in your life. So in a few minutes, we'll have some space for that. But I just want to summarize what we've shared tonight. So God has designed prayer so that we can partner with him. And I hope that I've shown or reminded us that prayer has the power to bring about real tangible changes in the world. And God wants us to pray persistently and constantly. And he honors this passion and this fervor. So I'd love us to consider, what does this look like in our life? I'm just going to give some space. Feel free to close your eyes or whatever, whatever works for you. And then I'll wrap up in prayer in a few minutes. Loving Father, it is such an incredible reality that, you love us to be in relationship with you, and this listening to your beautiful voice, this speaking out to be praising you, but also to be asking for what we know is important, Lord. And just pray that you would be shaping our hearts and our prayers to be more in line with what your purposes are. Lord, I also pray that you would be a great comfort for any of us who've been praying for a situation or a person for a long time and maybe feeling disheartened in that. I just pray that you would restore hope and be reminding us that you are ultimately working your good purposes. But please spur us on to persist, to hunger after your work in this world. And Lord, I just pray that, what you've been speaking tonight would be stirred up in our hearts, and it wouldn't just be left here at the doors, but something that we carry with us, in the days, weeks, months, years to come. Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom and for your love. Amen.